Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again, so that you might inherit the gift of eternal life. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you sure of your salvation? Are you confident as to where you will spend eternity? If your journey here on this earth suddenly came to an end before the sun sets tonight, what would happen to your soul? If you unexpectedly found yourself standing before the throne of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, and he asked you, "Why should I let you live with me in the glory and the perfection of my heavenly home?" What would you say? How would you respond? As mortal human beings, we want to know the answer to questions such as these. As mortal human beings, we need to know the answer to questions such as these. The simple fact that every major religion all across the world claims that they have the answers to these questions. The simple fact that huge fortunes have been made by people who have written books claiming that they can reveal the answers to those questions to you is a testimony to my friends. It is a testimony to the basic essence of what we are and who we are as mortal, sinful human beings. And if ever there were questions that we need to have the correct answer to, it is these questions. For there is only one correct answer, my friends, and that answer does indeed determine where you spend eternity. The text that we have before us today is a crystal clear example of everything that I have just said. For that reason, we are going to borrow a question from our text for this morning and use it as our sermon theme for today. That question is this: who then can be saved? We want to look at this question from two totally opposite perspectives. First of all, let's look at this question from man's perspective. And then, let's look at this question from God's perspective. Our text for today begins by introducing us to a young man who was on a mission. A young man who was on a serious spiritual quest. Mark writes, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" I seriously doubt that this question simply came out of the blue. This young man had probably been pondering this question for quite some time. He may even have gone around to various great teachers of the faith and asked this very same question over and over again. And we can probably guess that many, if not most, of the answers that he received followed along the lines of, "Son, if you truly want to inherit eternal life, if you truly want to be blessed by God and get his favor, then keep his commandments, follow his law, live an exemplary life." As we know from our text this morning, my friends, that is exactly what this young man had been striving to do. He was consciously striving to live according to the rules and the regulations of the Old Testament covenant that the Lord God had established with his children. He undoubtedly used his time and his talents to help and to benefit the people around him. He was probably both a model citizen as well as a model child of God. Just the kind of guy that you would want living next door to you. Just the kind of guy that you would want dating your only daughter or your only granddaughter. But there was still something that gnawed at this man's conscience. There was still something that caused his soul to cry out, "It's still not enough. I'm still missing something." Because of that nagging, gnawing sense that something was not right with his soul, this young man came running to Jesus, fell down on his knees, and humbly asked the question, "Good teacher, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus' response to this young man's question began with something that he could undoubtedly understand quite easily. Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Jesus points this young man to what we call the second table of the law to give him an opportunity to examine the way he was conducting himself in the relationships that he had with the people around him. And once this young man had indeed examined the conduct of his life, how did he respond? What conclusion did he come to? Mark tells us when he says to Jesus, "Teacher, all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Was this idle boasting, my friends? Was this egotistical bragging? Not at all. This man was not only expressing his severe misunderstanding of God's definition of sin, but this young man was also expressing man's answer to that all-important question, who then can be saved? This young man was indeed living an upright, decent, respectable, commendable life. When he was out in public, he was undoubtedly the type of person that everyone could easily look up to. If this was indeed the guy that was dating your only daughter or dating your only granddaughter, you would have absolutely been thrilled. Today, we might say that he was the same person on Friday night and Saturday night, as he was when you saw him in church every single Sunday morning. And yet, even though this young man was convinced that he was indeed living the type of life that he thought even God would be pleased with, deep down inside, he knew, didn't he? Deep down inside, he knew that no matter how exemplary our outward life might be, no matter how many religious teachers might tell us that if you want to inherit eternal life, if you want to be saved, then you must do this and you must never do that. Deep down inside, he knew that on our own, we always fall short of God's standard of holiness and perfection. He knew that on our own, we will never, ever be able to do enough to inherit eternal life. What we see then is that man's answer to that all-important question, who then can be saved, is always the wrong answer, my friends. Any and every attempt that we make to try and earn or work our way into heaven will end in disaster, eternal disaster. That reality makes the next portion of our text even more astounding. Mark continues, "Jesus looked at him and loved him. 'One thing you lack,' he said, 'go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" Notice that Jesus did not berate this young man. Notice that Jesus did not scold this young man by telling him that he was seriously mistaken if he actually thought he had kept all of these commandments since he was a boy. Instead, we're told that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Just as Jesus loved all the little children who were brought to him and lovingly wrapped his arms around them, just as Jesus looked at that dying thief on the cross and lovingly spoke those words of absolute pure grace, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise," so also Jesus looked at this young man, Jesus loved this young man, and most importantly, Jesus shared with this young man God's answer to that all-important question, who then can be saved? Jesus led this young man to look beyond the outward actions of his day-to-day life and examine what was in his heart. And what was obviously in this young man's heart, my friends, was greed. This young man struggled with the sin of greed because he was so focused on the things of this world. We have clear evidence of the sin that lived in this man's heart when Jesus invited him to let go of his focus on the material things of this world and then come, follow Jesus as his only Lord and Savior. Mark writes in our text, "At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth." This young man who so humbly came to Jesus looking for answers. This young man who was on that serious spiritual quest to learn what he had to do to inherit eternal life. This young man wanted nothing to do with God's answer to that all-important question, because God's answer always focuses our heart and focuses our life on that glorious, powerful gospel invitation. Come, follow me. Do you want to be sure of your salvation, my friends? Then listen to Jesus as he lovingly says to you, follow me. Do you want to be confident as to where you are going to spend eternity? Then listen to Jesus as he lovingly says to you, follow me. Do you want to know how to respond to the Heavenly Father when he asks you, why should I let you live with me in the glory and the perfection of my heavenly home? Then listen to Jesus as he lovingly says to you, follow me. Don't be like the young man here in our text and think that by simply living an outward, commendable life that you can somehow earn God's grace or favor. Don't be like the young men here in our text and let your heart become focused on the things of this world. Listen to your Savior and follow him. Follow him to the cross so that he can quiet your conscience with that loving assurance that all of your sins are completely forgiven. Follow him to the empty grave in the garden so that your heart will have reason to rejoice in the glorious eternal life that your Savior has waiting for you in heaven above. Listen to your Savior and follow him as he uses his precious means of grace to not only give you the power, but also to give you the motivation to first conform your heart and then conform your life to what God has revealed to us here in his holy word. Not in an effort to earn God's grace, not in an effort to work your way into heaven, but simply as a way of expressing your love and your thankfulness to him for everything that he has so graciously done for you. Come, follow me. Those are the gracious words that the Lord Jesus Christ proclaims right down to this very day, my friends. Come, follow me. Those glorious words also tie in very well with the fact that today we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the reorganization of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And why did the ELS need to be reorganized? Because the old Norwegian Synod, from which we came, had lost its focus. It lost its way. It left behind those basic principles of the Reformation that the Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant Word of God, and that the gift of salvation is received purely by grace alone through faith in what Jesus has done for us. Let me share with you something that the Synod produced for this celebration today. They write, 4 months and 100 years ago today, on June 14, 1918, Pastor Harstad joined a group of almost 200 Lutherans gathered at Lime Creek Lutheran Church. They were all that remained of a once mighty synod, the Norwegian Synod, which had now been abandoned. Tragic things had taken place. For the sake of external unity with other Scandinavian Lutherans, the larger part of the Norwegian Synod had agreed to compromise on the doctrine of election. The impression was given that a person could believe, teach, and confess that a sinner plays some part in his conversion. That reminds me of the question from this young man. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But if salvation depends in any way on the sinner, all certainty is lost. To the contrary, said Pastor Harstad, our happiness and salvation we build solely upon the call of God, when he, by visible and undeceiving means, chose and rescued us from the power of Satan and our flesh, and adopted us as his disciples and as his children. Because there is only one correct answer to that all-important question, because there is only one God-pleasing and God-acceptable answer to the question of who then can be saved, the ELS has, by God's grace, continued to proclaim the wonders of what God has done, so that for the last 100 years, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have been able to hear that powerful, glorious gospel invitation. Come, follow me. Who then can be saved? Man's answer to that all-important question will always leave a gnawing uncertainty and deep-seated doubt in a person's heart. Why? Because man's answer to that all-important question is always focused on what we must do for God. God's answer to that all-important question always fills our heart with joy and with happiness, with peace and with confidence. Why? Because God's answer to that all-important question always focuses our heart and our life on that glorious gospel invitation. Come, follow me. Follow me to my cross. Follow me to my empty grave. Follow me and see not only what I have done for you, but what I will do for you. Follow me, our Savior says, and you will inherit eternal life. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.